Well, wherever you are watching this, listening, it's really a privilege to be with you today in worship. Here at Mosaic, we're on a journey through the letter of James, and we are in chapter 3 today, and I want to read a passage from verse 5 to verse 10. So as I read, I invite you to listen carefully and to listen to what God may be saying to you today. James writes these words: "So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body. It sets on fire the cycle of nature and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so." I wonder today how you respond to those words. I need to be very honest with you and say that they speak very deeply to me, and they challenge me profoundly. I don't know how many times I've spoken words that I've deeply regretted. Words that I've wanted to take back afterwards. I don't know how often I've spoken words, and afterwards I've thought to myself, if only I had bitten my tongue, stayed silent. I don't know how many times I've spoken words that have really betrayed the image of God in other people. When I've spoken words that have been prejudiced and discriminatory and even racist. I don't know how many times I've spoken words that have hurt loved ones, especially my own family. I wonder how you respond to this passage. I wonder whether you have ever spoken words that have hurt others, belittled others, judged others, discriminated against others, condemned others. I think we need to be honest with ourselves today. Not only have we been hurt by words, but we also have hurt others with the words that we've spoken. I remember that nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That nursery rhyme is not true. Now, it's against this backdrop today that I want to share with you a challenge. And it's a very strong challenge that comes from the letter of James. Look with me again at those two verses, verses 9 and 10, when James writes, "With it, with our tongue, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, our tongue, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so." here James lays down a challenge, and it's a challenge to let God change the way we speak. It's a challenge to let God help us to control our tongue so that we begin to speak words that help others rather than harm them. That we begin to speak words that build others up rather than break them down. That we begin to speak words that bring life rather than death. If you're ready for this challenge, and it's a challenge certainly today that I want to take on in my own life, I want to share with you just some thoughts that will help us to engage this challenge in our own lives in a very, very practical way. The first thing that I want to say, friends, is this, that God changes the way we speak when we have the courage to acknowledge our need for God's help and grace. You know, when you read the whole letter of James, James is convinced that the God that we worship, our Creator, the one who has given us life, the one who's given us the gift of speech and the gift of language, the God who has come to us in Jesus Christ and lived with us and died for us and rose for us and lives beyond crucifixion, the God who is now present with us in the power of God's Spirit, this God wants to change us. James is convinced that when we open up our lives to Jesus Christ, Jesus comes into our life and begins to change us, begins to change the way we listen, begins to change the way we look, begins to change the way we live and behave, and begins to change the way in which we speak. However, if we want God to change the way we speak, we really need to acknowledge our need for God's help and God's grace. Over the years, the 12 steps of the AA program have helped me a great deal. Not because I struggled with alcohol, but because I've struggled with many other attachments and addictions. That program almost has a spiritual genius about it. And that very first step is so critical. Speak to any recovering alcoholic and they will tell you how important that first step is. It's when they acknowledged their need for God, when they acknowledged that their drinking was unmanageable and out of control. And when they were able to do that, that was the moment when God's grace was able to, as it were, step into their life and begin a process of recovery and change. And maybe that's our first step today, to say to God, God, my tongue is unmanageable. It's out of control. It hurts others. It damages others. And I need your help and I need your grace. And it's when we come to God like that and when we acknowledge our need that somehow we open up our life to the transforming power of God's grace and presence in our lives. That's the first thing that I want to say. But I want to say something else. God changes the way we speak when we put an end to harmful speech. You know, James is convinced that our words can cause great harm. Look again at those verses 5 and 6, when James writes these words, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is like a fire. James knows that the tongue is like a little spark that can set a whole forest on fire. And we know that too. We know how harmful words are spoken, how they can wreck reputations, how they can destroy confidence, how they can break people down, how they can spoil relationships, how they can divide families, and how they can cause a country to burn. If we really want God to change the way we speak, we need to realize the damage that words can cause, and we need to put an end to harmful speech. I love the story. It's one of my favorite stories of that Jewish rabbi who had a neighbor who would always slander him. One day the neighbor came to his senses, came to the rabbi and said to the rabbi, "I'm really sorry. I have gossiped about you. I've wrecked your reputation. I've slandered you. What can I do to make amends?" And the rabbi said to him, "I want you to go home. I want you to fetch a pillar. I want you to cut it open, go outside and then scatter all the feathers into the wind, and then I want you to come back to me." The neighbor did that and came back to the rabbi and said to the rabbi, "Have I made enough amends now? Do you forgive me?" And the rabbi said to the man, "No, I've got one more thing I want you to do. I want you now to go and gather all those feathers that have been scattered by the wind." The man said, "But that's impossible." And the rabbi said, exactly. "And just as impossible as it is to gather all those feathers that have been scattered in the wind, it is impossible to take back the harm that sometimes our words have caused in this world." And so if we want God really to change the way we speak, we need to put an end to harmful speech. And I think one of the most practical ways we can do this is simply to stop talking about people negatively behind their back. Obviously, there is a time when we have to share with others the damage that people have caused in our lives through their words. But we do that in a professional context. We do that sometimes when we're being counseled, or when we go for therapy, or when we go see a doctor, or when we talk with someone that we can really, really trust. In those moments, we share the damage that other people's words have caused us. But in the everyday run of life, let's put an end to negative gossip. Let's put an end to harmful words being spoken behind someone's back, in our family, in our work situation, in our community. The last thing I want to say, friends, is this, that God changes the way we speak when we learn to bless others. Look again at verse 10, when James writes, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. James doesn't want us, as it were, to bless God with our lips and then to curse people with our lips. He doesn't want us to be a blessing, cursing people. He wants us to be a blessing, blessing people. How do we bless people with our words? I don't think it means going around saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I think we bless people when we encourage them and affirm them and call forth the gifts that they have within them. I think one of my favorite blessing stories, and I often share it, and I just want to share it with you now. There was a Roman Catholic priest, his name was Henry Nouwen. And he died a few years ago. He worked amongst people who were severely disabled. And one day he was in this community, and this severely disabled woman came to him. Her name was Janet. And she said to him, Henry, I want a blessing. And he was wearing a long white robe, and he crossed her forehead with the cross and said, I bless you. And she said to him, that doesn't work. I want a real blessing. And he said to her, okay, tonight when we gather together for worship, I will bless you. And he still didn't know what he was going to do. But that night when they gathered together for a prayer meeting, she came to him again. She said, I want my blessing and I want it now. And he just put his arm around her, enfolded her in his long white robe, and he just began to speak words of blessing to her. You're a precious, beloved child of God. You bring joy to God's heart. And as she heard those words, a massive smile came onto her face, and it was obvious that she had received that blessing. And then another woman in the community, I think her name was Jane, she said, I want one of those too. And Henry said, come. And she came to Henry, and Henry put his arm around her and just spoke words of blessing into her life. But the most moving moment in the story is when a university student, one of the assistants in the community, said, what about me? And Henry said, John, come here as well. And then Henry spoke words of blessing into John's life. God delights in you, John. You, God's beloved. You're loved with a love that won't let you go. And as John heard those words, he just began to sob. We live in a time at the moment where many of us don't feel blessed. This pandemic has been a very difficult and very different time for most of us. And what I want to do as I come to a close, if I may, I would like to speak some words of blessing into your life today. I'm not wearing a long white robe, but I want you to receive these words and to receive them as coming from God. To those of you who right now are feeling overwhelmed by being online all the time, overwhelmed by Zoom calls and webinars, overwhelmed by crises and challenges at work. May you, in your overwhelming, may you know God's presence. May you know that you are enfolded in God's love, that there is nothing that can separate you from God, and that you are never on your own. May those of you who are facing huge decisions at the moment, decisions relating to your career, to your business, to your work, may you know God's wisdom today. May you know the Spirit of God's wisdom at work within you, leading you, guiding you, helping you to discern what your next step is, so that your life may be in tune with God's dream. Those of you today who are anxious and fearful and worried, may you know God's peace. May the peace of God descend upon your heart and mind. May it bring into the storms that go on inside of you a deep sense of stillness and rest and peace. May those of you who are giving your life at this moment to fighting this virus, health workers, doctors, nurses, researchers, may you know God's gratitude today. May you know that God is so grateful that you are working with Him to bring healing and wholeness and life again to others. May you know that. And above all, may those of you who are walking through the dark valley of loss at the moment, loss of income, loss of job, losses that come from being separated from those that you love, and most deeply of all, the deep loss of grief, may you know in this moment the blessing of God's love, that you are loved with a love that knows you by name, that you are loved with a love that will never, ever let you go, that you are loved with a love from which nothing in this life or the next can ever separate you. And so today, may God bless you. And I invite you to receive this blessing that I speak into your life today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Also want to say that if you'd like to stay with this theme and journey with it, throughout this coming week, there's a journey in formation, and that will be available to you on the website. What's going to be coming up on your screen now are ways in which you can give and invest in the work of God as it happens in and through the Mosaic community. God bless you.